Hi there, this is Melanie from Do Business Network, and today I'm joined by David Bainbridge, who is director of First Cohort International. Morning, David, how are you?
Morning, not too bad. How's yourself?
Good, good. It's Friday.
It is.
I'm in the office by myself and I'm just absolutely just cracking on with loads of work. So I'm really, really pleased. And also I've got a bottle of Prosecco in the fridge for when I get home later. So
nice.
David, can you just tell everyone at DBN a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's David. I own and run a company called First Cohort International Limited, which is, it's a substance abuse testing company, but it's with a bit of a twist, where a lot of other companies will test people to see if they're positive or negative. We'll do it, but we'll do it with a view to try to keep people in work so they don't lose the job automatically and to rehabilitate people. That's what it's about. It's about promoting drug awareness and knowing that there are other options to businesses whereby they don't have to get rid of somebody because they fail the drugs test. Because it is a very, very, very negative thing that to everybody involved.
So what sort of businesses do you usually work with, David?
It can go with anybody. It can go from, well, say a one-man band, but one-man band's not really going to drug test themselves. But it can go from small company right through to major businesses, and it goes across all sectors, and the benefits apply to every sector as well.
So let's get back to the drug testing itself. So why would a company approach you and ask you to carry out the drug testing?
The way I like to see it is it's being proactive. I prefer if people are proactive. It comes under the health and safety. Health and safety is something I do have a background in. And they can approach me if they've got concerns about people taking drugs or alcohol in the workplace, and that's where I can step in and give them some advice and give them some options which best suits their needs, if you like. If there's no scope for it there, I'll just say there's no need for it, or I'll have a look at it and say, right, these are your options, yeah, this is what you can do, this is how it's going to benefit you.
Yeah, so when you've actually you've been approached by your business, you carry out testing, what happens after that? Because, you know, I can imagine the staff will be thinking, are they trying to catch us out here?
Yeah. The approach I always take with it as well is that you need to be open and you need to be honest. And about, I think it was just before I started, just around the time I joined the DBN network, I kind of flipped up the business model on its head to support people. Because beforehand, I was the same as everybody else, where I just said, look at the field and they're going to get sacked. And I didn't sit right with this. So I flipped it to support people instead. So I go into a company, people initially go, oh, no, they're trying to catch us out here. What I do in my spare time is up to me. I can appreciate that. But when it starts impacting the company you work for, then it does become an issue for it. So for me, you talk to these people and you just let them know where they stand, what options are, and that it's okay to come forward. And if I've got issues, to come forward and talk about it. If they're a recreational user, come forward and talk about it. And put measures in place to support you to come off whatever it is that you're taking, so it doesn't impact your work and lifestyle.
Yeah, because I guess if you were, you know, using drugs in your own time and it therefore is impacting in the workplace, it could potentially be a health and safety risk, not only for the individual, but also for the people who work around them as well.
Yeah, it is. It falls under, may I go from the health and safety angle, just for the fact that's part of my background there. But it also comes under HR as well, and your full duty of care with a customer, with your customer and employees and people who's affected by your work. So it's a bit of a taboo subject at the minute. A lot of businesses may not want to do workplace drug testing because they think they've just got to get rid of the staff if they test positive. You don't. There's a way you can actually help them and keep your business profitable. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would argue it would make your business more money and be a safer workplace if you had workplace drug testing in place.
Yeah. So is workplace drug testing something that it has to be done by a business of a certain size, or is it totally up to the health and safety personnel within that company?
It is no, it's a yes or no question, this one. And I'll try and explain this as best as I can, right? There's no legal obligation for any company to test for drugs, for alcohol abuse, anything like that. No, nothing in law in the UK at this moment in time. However, there are two bits of legislation there, which is the Health and Safety at Work Act and the Misuse of Drugs Act, which says that you have got a duty of care to look after people, the employees, and people who are infected by your acts and omissions. This is riveting reading this. But the Misuse of Drugs Act says that if you know somebody's taking drugs in your workplace, or you suspect that there are drugs in your workplace, you have a legal obligation to do something about it.
Right, okay. So, in your experience, I mean, can you get, I know you don't want to give names or, companies, etc., but can you give us a little example where your service, the service that you provide, and obviously you've got involved with a company, has actually helped benefit a member of staff? Do you know, because I'm just trying to
Share
think.
stories.
Yeah, like
Yeah, I've got some of
positive,
these. I like these ones.
positive stories. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a couple for you here. One's got a really good outcome. One's got an outcome which is not very good for one person, but it benefit the company as a whole. Some companies do drug testing in the workplace. And I can understand why they do it. It's for this year, it's for time, it's for cost. I can understand where they're coming from. One company called Zimmo, because I had some concerns about people on the work on the it was a manufacturing company. I'm trying to be really careful not to say who it is, because it is a government company. It's a manufacturing company, and they asked me to go in because they were doing in-house testing to start with, and they had some concerns about some of the results. So I went in and I tested everybody, including the person who's doing the drug testing in the workplace for them. And I think about 20, 25% of them actually failed the drug test.
Wow.
And it turned out the person who was doing the drug test was actually selling them drugs at work. So, which is a bit of a naughty one. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
which is a bit of a naughty one, but the company benefited from that. The other one, which is currently my favorite one, was a gentleman who started off as an agency worker. He started off with a company and they realized the potential quite quick. So, it actually took him on full time. They made him a cell leader, then a team leader, then a line leader within about a year. Promote them really, really quickly. They were doing what's known as random drug testing, where they just pick numbers out of a hat and whoever's number that is, the test. When I was walking along to test him, he says to us, "David, I'm going to fail this." I was like, "Why? What's the matter?" All my drug testing I do is done on a one-to-one basis, so people can actually talk to us if they've got concerns. He says, "I'm on cocaine, I'm taking cocaine." I was like, "Right. Is this just a one-off thing?" Oh, he says, "I'm taking it all the time." I was like, "Right, well, we'll sit down and have a talk about it." And he turned around and he confessed that he felt he got promoted that quickly within his workplace that he didn't know what he was doing. He felt out of his depth. So he was taking cocaine on a regular basis to give him that false sense of bravado. You know, I'm a manager, I'm in charge, I know what I'm doing. So I was like, "Right." So we told the HR department about it. They came down, I tested them anyway, and it came back as positive for cocaine. Their policy beforehand was if somebody tested positive, they just finished them there and then on the spot. They actually bought into the approach I do. They put him through rehab. They kept his job open. He came back, and he's better than ever. He's been promoted since, and the company's actually reviewed their whole training policy of how to train people up to support people better. So that's just one of the benefits of what I'm doing, how it helps a company.
It's quite an interesting story, that, isn't it? Because what he was saying is that he was a little bit stressed and out of his depth, and it's nice to think that the company valued him and supported him and helped him get back on the straight and narrow. But, you know, I know just through talking to people who are employed in sort of a bigger company, that a lot of them have admitted that they're on some sort of antidepressants because they're so stressed at work. And it's quite an quite a worrying sort of acknowledged, you know what I mean, that people are having to resort to some sort of drug to try and help them through the working day. Do you find this is a common thing?
I do. I mainly concentrate on workplace drug testing, but just through being like substance misuse, I look at other things as well. And at the minute, my personal viewing is that if somebody is upset or struggling, they'll go to the doctors, and the doctors will automatically just say, here's antidepressants. It's like a knee-jerk reaction just to give them something. And I don't think personally that's the right attitude to have. Because again, they're still drugs, albeit legal prescription drugs, and people still can get addicted to things like that.
Yeah. And would they class as a positive reading if you tested somebody and say they had cleared that they're on antidepressants?
Right.
Oh, is that
a bit more technical on this one? Yeah. No, we didn't get this one. It links in the company's policy. What I always say to them is that in your policy, you say to your staff that if they are on medication, to let somebody know about it, albeit in a confidential way. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to imagine that you saw some medication where it says do not use while driving or something like that because it makes you sleepy. Well, that's legal prescription medication. The company still needs to know about that because you don't want somebody running the press or driving the forklift if they're going boom, fell asleep, you know? So I always say that. The drugs I predominantly test for are the illegal drugs, the cocaines, the cannabises, the heroin, the things like that. Some prescription drugs do have some of those in them, so they do trigger the tests off sometimes. So that's when you might do a bit of further investigation on it. I always turn around and go in with a broad approach that they could be on medication that they haven't told their employer, and just be a bit mindful of it when you're actually doing the test.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it's really interesting that, David, and I could talk all day about that, but obviously we haven't got time. However, can you give us an idea of what sort of companies, what sort of work you're looking for at the moment? I guess what I'm saying, what type of companies do you work with?
Right. So predominantly at the minute, it's manufacturing that I'm working alongside. excuse me. But like I say, the beauty of this is it goes into anything. And at the moment, this may sound counterintuitive from a business point of view, is getting the work through the door isn't as important as me getting this message out there that there is a different way for people to do workplace substance misuse, drug and alcohol testing. That was one of the reasons I was hoping to do this podcast with you, just to get the message out and say, look, stop sacking the employees and being a fortune to retrain other people up and recruit them and all that. Come and have a chat with us first and see what we can do about it. But yeah, anyone who's got a need for it, it can be a construction company. I work with construction companies. I work with manufacturing companies. I've worked with training companies. I've worked with recruitment companies. It goes across the board what I do, and it has benefits for everybody.
So if anyone is listening to the podcast and is thinking, do you know what, I need to speak to David at First Call, mm-hmm. What is the best way for them to contact you, David?
Few different ways. I'm all over LinkedIn, on LinkedIn. So reach out there. I'm always up for a cup or in a chat. There's the website there, First Cohort. .co.uk. You can message us on there, and also tells it a bit about what I do there in regards to the testing and the policy writing and the training package, because I've got a cracking training package that helps people as well. I can do like Facebook and just search us on Facebook, David Bainbridge, if you find us on get us. Or you can have my email address, which I can, you can put on the link if you want to.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And finally, I've got to say this, obviously, you've been a DBN member for, what do you say, about 8 months?
Since May last year, so it's coming up a year.
Ah, right, okay. So it's been a little bit longer than what I initially thought. Obviously, you've been along to a few of our meetings. Can you tell everyone, what is it about DBN that you like?
I love the DBN meetings. I'll be honest with you, right? They're my favourite meetings out there. Everybody, when you go to them, is really friendly. It's really relaxed. There's no pressure to go wrong. Like, you speak. You can actually have conversations with people, and people aren't trying to sell you when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the option's there if you are interested. I mean, I met Alison through the DBN meeting, and I worked alongside Alison with this. So they are just really, really relaxed events, and bacon sandwiches aren't too bad either.
You know, that's what everyone says. Do you know, I've always said with DBN, they're just a lovely bunch for a great referral source. So what they do is instead of actively trying to sell each other, we actively just educate each other about what we do and the business we're looking for. So therefore, we're in a better position for trust and also for being able to refer people. And I think that's far more effective than turning up at a networking meeting and trying to sell to each other all the time. Because, you know, if anyone tries to sell
me,
automatically my guards go up and I'm just saying, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I want to hear about business, but I don't want to be sold to, you know. That's lovely, David. So then if anyone's listening and they would like to reach out to David, we will put a link in and a little bit of information on the DBN website. David, thank you very much for coming along this morning. Will we see you at the next DBN on the 21st of Feb?
I think I'm already down for it.
Oh, well,
yes, we'll see if it's a bacon sandwich.
Yes, I'll order plenty at this one. Actually, it's going to be a really busy one, this one. So we'll look forward to seeing you then. Okay, well, thanks for your time, and we will speak to you soon.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.